This is one in a series of podcasts from Lutheran Education Australia, My Principals Who Serve in Lutheran Education.
Greetings, Lutheran educators. My name is Jane Mueller, and I'm the principal of Living Faith Lutheran Primary School in Brisbane's Northside. 7 years ago at the 2014 EduTech conference, I distinctly remember the intensity and conviction of the final keynote speaker. It was educational futurist Ian Jukes. To an auditorium of future-minded educators, Ian said, "We are preparing our children for the 1960s at best." He went on to say that there are two types of schools, those that prepare kids for the future and those that allow adults to live comfortably in the past. In today's podcast episode, we'll hear from a principal who's leading a college community into a prosperous future through a forward-thinking and future-oriented strategic plan that prepares students for their future rather than our past. Paul Wynette has more degrees than I can count on one hand. He's dedicated three decades to the core values that underpin Lutheran education. Having served as a teacher, a principal, and a system leader across Australian states, territories, and regions, Paul has more than proven his commitment to establishing structures that create diverse and dynamic learning opportunities for students within a caring and supportive Christian environment. Today, Paul is the principal of Concordia College in Highgate, South Australia, where he leads a college community that connects people, ideas, and experiences. Paul, it's great to be here with you today.
Thanks, Jane. It's great to be with you.
And Paul, I understand you've recently become a grandfather.
Yes, very exciting. Eldest, Ruth, in Melbourne, actually, in lockdown, like much of the country, is there, but they're going very well.
It's good to hear that they're going well. Have you had the opportunity to meet Aldous face-to-face yet?
I have. We went there in the last holidays with my partner, Julie, and, we had a lovely time with Holly and Peter and Aldous. So that was terrific. My wife's a midwife, in fact, so she's got quite a background. So it was excellent, fantastic. So was my daughter, both midwives. So I've got a fair bit of shared knowledge there.
Keeping it in the family.
That's right, exactly.
Paul, we're talking about strategic planning today, and some people listening may not have had direct involvement with strategic planning. So I think the best way to begin our chat is to define our topic. So how would you best define strategic planning?
Okay, so I have my own views about strategic planning, and that can vary from place to place. So look, from my perspective, I think strategic planning is really about realising a vision through a structured process. It's really about taking an organisation to a different place. So I think a school in particular should in some way look or feel different at the end of a strat plan. It shouldn't be the same place because you're realising a vision as you go. So, and there are different structures and processes you need to go through, but it really is taking your organisation into a different space.
Taking your organisation into a different space.
Yeah.
So how is that different from an operational plan, or what separates strategy from school improvement?
Well, really with strategy, we're talking about the bigger picture. We're talking at a macro level about issues that affect the school. So this is why it's so important to have this sort of environmental scan about the bigger picture issues that are affecting your school and your strategic planning, and not to be too micro about it. For my mind, an operational plan is looking at school improvement aspects, whether it's an assessment or continuous assessment or these things that are very important that go on in a school. You're looking at that and how can I continually improve that? And that happens and you need that sort of plan. But a strategic plan, you step back. You know, your board has an involvement in that and you're looking at the bigger picture. How can we take our organisation from A to B? So we place ourselves, future-proof the organisation, place ourselves in a better place for, you know, to flourish well into the future. So it's very much a very future-focused endeavour.
Pastor John C. Maxwell writes about leaders living in today but thinking about tomorrow. You certainly have that box ticked. So you're saying that school leaders need to look deep into the future that our students will be etching out a living in and seeking purpose and fulfillment in. Mm. Let's face it, Paul, we're not talking about the 21st century here, but we're talking about the 22nd century.
Mm.
And so schools should be gearing strategy towards that era. American political commentator George Will said, "The future has a way of arriving unannounced. With the outrageously exponential change that's happening this century, how do you know what the future will look like?"
Well, obviously, I don't. And I guess you need to be always ready for change. In terms of looking forward and doing your research, I think you need to be reading broadly. You need to be looking at how things are trending in a macro way. You need to be in touch with current thinking in different industries and be talking to people in different industries. And I think that's one thing sometimes in education that we forget about. Education is just a small pocket of what goes on, but look more broadly in terms of what goes on in health, in commercial enterprises, in all of these sort of innovation type enterprises as well. What are they doing and how are they feeling their way in the future? So it's getting out there and talking to people and doing your own research. Then you'll get a feel for what's trending and you can start to orientate your strategy in that way. I think that's the beauty of where boards sit and different subcommittees. You can have that expertise in your school because you're talking to these people in a variety of enterprises, and anybody worth their salt in an innovation enterprise or other business is looking forward and planning for the future. And I think that's where you can tap into your community and broadly into other enterprises as well.
I think that's really important to hear, Paul, because I think educators traditionally have been quite insular and haven't taken themselves outside of our own industry and to learn and gain knowledge from other industries. Which futurists or thought leaders have influenced your own blue sky thinking?
So in terms of looking at futures, I think it's certainly having an awareness about how things are trending on a global level and that how that can influence your local context. So authors like Yuval Noah Harari, who wrote Sapiens and 21st Lessons for the 21st Century, really looking at global trends and the history and how things are evolving and how things will go into the future, really insightful, writing about that. The Foundation for Young Australians looks at the future of work and the types of skills that people will need. I am a big fan of Michael McQueen and Teaching for Tomorrow, and I've seen him several times. Really, again, insightful into education and how we gear our schools for the future, and particularly around capabilities and OECD documentation around future capabilities and the future of education and skills. These are the sorts of things that influence me about my thinking about the future.
So then, Paul, coming back to strategic planning, who is the author of a school or college's strat plan?
Yeah, I've always had a view that the board are really the owner of the plan and they're the ones that monitor the plan. That should be created in collaboration with the leadership whose job is to implement the plan. But the board, in my view, have the ultimate ownership of that and it should be co-authored, in my view, between the board and the leadership team. So I've always thought about a school where, you know, the board are the owners, you know, and the principal really is a visitor to the school. so you can look at it in that sense that there's going to be different people that come, but there needs to be these owners that hold, I guess, the vision of the school in that sense. And it needs to be, the principal needs to be front and centre with that vision. But in terms of the overarching vision, mission, that's, I think, owned by the board.
So the principal is a custodian of the mission, the vision, the strategic plan.
Absolutely. I mean, they need to move in with that, you know, and they obviously need to co-create that, in my view, with the board. They need to have a shared vision. And obviously, you need to try and get a shared vision through your community. And that's the real challenge of the principal. How do you inspire people about a vision for the future for your school? That's some of the hardest work of all, to get engagement at that level, but really important work.
Yeah, that is quite a challenging area. What obstacles can stand in the way of a good strategic plan?
I think one of the key obstacles is to make it too big, to bite off too much. It really needs to be very succinct. You know, one page, and a principal talked to me at one point about a placemat, you know, type document. Everything needs to fit on the placemat. If it doesn't fit there, it doesn't work. So it really needs to be quite succinct. And you know, big challenge. People take on too much. They have far too many priorities and key pillars and these sorts of things. It's not workable. In the cut and thrust of your business as usual, if you want to put it that way, it's intense. There's so many things you have to deal with. So you have to be very guarded about how many things are going to come onto your strat plan. That's a big obstacle, because people just do too much and get overwhelmed and they don't deliver. I think the other thing is really engagement around the community. A lot of people and a lot of staff are not that interested in strategic plans often, so they can see it out there somewhere and they want to know really what affects me in the here and the now. You know, where's my support coming from? I'm busy, I'm overloaded, it's intense. How do you, are you going to support me on the day-to-day? So I think you need to be careful about the messaging to staff. Again, it needs to be very succinct. You need to just have almost, you know, one or two key focus areas that are going to do it. And obviously, education needs to be the driver. You know, what is our pedagogical vision and how is that going to influence you? And that's how we're gearing our students for the future and what's your influence on that? These are the sorts of things that resonate with staff. But if you get too peripheral in this, you're going to lose engagement. So same with your parent body. They want to know how this is going to affect the learning outcomes for my child and so on. So they're not really going to be thrilled if you're talking about some sort of business plan that's a little bit peripheral to that. So I think you need to keep it succinct and you need to keep it focused and you need to ensure you get maximum engagement. So lack of engagement, plans that are too complex are two of the key barriers I see in strategic planning.
Mm-hmm. So in terms of engagement, do you have your strat plan visible to your community, to your staff body, your family community?
Yeah, we certainly have put it certainly on websites and had sort of different communication around our strategies, but that we do a lot of repeat messaging. So within our strat plan, we've got an Unlocking Futures framework, which is really about the pedagogy that we want to see to take our students into a different future so they can navigate that. And part of that, and we're very much trying to integrate our wellbeing strategy, because some of those skills involve self-management, resilience and those sort of things. So it's sort of, they go hand in hand. So we just try and say our strat plan is about our learning framework and around wellbeing and how that connects. That's it. That's the major thing. And we've got other things that sit there, but that's enough to engage people, I think. You know, I'm not saying we've got this all right, Jane, by any stretch, but that's what we try and do. Keep it brief, keep the messaging tight and make it repetitive, if you like. We go over it time and time again. I think in my mind that's the best way to try and do that without fancy brochures and things like that. I don't think that really holds sway. I think it's about your messaging to make it succinct and you do it often.
And with something as succinct as what you describe, it's easy for people to hold on to it because there's not a lot of words that they need to memorise. There's a couple of key concepts that they can hold on to, that they can grip.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, that they engage with that. I mean, the other things will happen in the background because your strategic plan will have a few more pillars than that. And currently we've got five, but I only talk about two. And the rest that happens in the background, but I don't need to talk about that because really they're things that we just chip away at. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When it comes then to operationalising and implementing the strategic plan, what are some crucial considerations?
Well, this is a really important area because I think the big challenge in a sense is implementation and how you do that. It's one thing to have the strategy, but it's another thing to how you implement that successfully. So again, you need to make sure that you're sort of chunking this in a way that is manageable for your leadership team. What we've chosen to do is to do it in a project base. So we divide it up into succinct projects. We've probably got too many, but that's the way we do it. Our leadership team is allocated into these succinct projects and defined projects. And then we try, again, we don't always successfully, but we try and devote a high percentage of our leadership meetings to strategy and to looking at the projects and how you're tracking, how we monitor that, and how we report that back to the board in a very succinct way. There's an accountability built into that if you have projects and you're monitoring, but it's critical. High-performing teams spend much more time on strategy and they spend much more time on aligning strategy with their operations. And that's a proven research. You need to devote a lot of your time in I guess, your leadership and management to where your strategy is going and aligning that. And that's a real challenge in the day-to-day when you get caught up with everything you do in schools to set time aside for strategic thinking. But I would really encourage principals to do that very intentionally because that makes all the difference in my view.
You obviously have a passion for big picture thinking. Has that always been the case?
No, not really, because I started like many Lutheran principals in little rural schools where you're just all focused on the day-to-day and thinking strategically wasn't, you were in survival mode, really. So later, I guess, as I got into slightly bigger schools Double Stream Primary and then when I went on to national office and regional office as a director, that's where I started to get a picture of strategic thinking and what it looked like for a bigger picture. Started to engage with consultants from industry, had some really creative ways of doing strategy. And then I started to change my thinking about how you do strategy. And that's a really a lifelong pursuit. You know, I wouldn't say I've got that right. That's a work in progress. But you started to see other ways of doing it from other industries who are very adept at doing strategy. So I just think that's been a journey that I've been on.
Once your mind has been stretched into that place, is there ever any going back?
Certainly. I mean, you just get caught up in the day-to-day. That's the challenge. You need to give yourself some time and space as a principal. You need to get out of the busyness of that, and that's difficult in schools, and give yourself time for thinking and reading and reflecting. That's absolutely critical, more critical than ever, because we're facing so much change now. And after you can see in this pandemic how that's changing and altering strategy for schools, weekly, really. So you need to give yourself time to think about that and talk to a few other people and talk to your mentors and other people to hone your thinking around it. That's critical to the whole strategic journey.
And strategy is not a new concept. If we think of Moses learned to be a strategic thinker with the help of Jethro's mentoring. Joshua demonstrated strategy when leading the Israelites into the promised land. And Nehemiah accomplished God's vision to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem through strong strategic leadership that played out through assessing, resourcing, and delegating. So you're in good company, Paul Winert.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Jane.
When you started at Concordia College, I know that you weren't quick to leap into strategy. And so in respect to strategic planning, what advice do you have for beginning and experienced principals who are starting at a new school?
Yes, I think it's really important to, I guess, get a good sense of your community, firstly, and to feel your way with the culture. I mean, culture, they always say, culture eats strategy for breakfast. And that's true. You've got to develop a strong culture in your school and be continually working on that. So I think that for new principals, if you've got a culture that's not quite there, you have to do your work on that. And really, that's probably one conversation at a time, and trying to build what sort of culture you're trying to do. You know, this is the whole values and how they influence things, and coming back to that whole notion of values and how they influence behaviours. You've got to work on that, I think, first, and have that pretty right before you launch into the strategy. Because if you haven't got that right, your strategy is going to fall flat, because people aren't going to engage. They're going to be too insular and looking inward rather than looking outward, because you've got all these other issues to solve. So I think that's the one thing. You really need to work on culture. You need to feel the community. You need to understand your community. Then you go into strategy. And I think a good strategy is always to do a review process is a good thing to start with. Have a good look. Work out where the pressure points are, and you can do an overarching review. And you know, there's different ways to do that, and you have to be careful how you do that, because you don't want to, I guess, diminish the past. You need to respect the past when you're looking forward. But I think that's a good, and then that gives you a window into what you need to focus on, and then you go forward. But the other thing I would say, you need to have your board on side, right alongside you with this, because they, as I said, they're really going to be monitoring the strategic plan. So you need to do that in collaboration, and you need to have a strategy about how you're going to engage your community in this, and be very intentional about that strategy within itself, about how you engage your broader community, because you want to take them along. And if they're not along for the ride, again, you're going to have trouble delivering on that strategy in terms of implementation.
That's terrific advice, Paul. Really strong foundations for a quality strategic planning process and subsequent strategic plan. What are you most excited about when you think about Concordia College's future under its new strategic direction?
Really, it's about where we're going with our learning agenda. I think Unlocking Futures will give us a really strong framework and vision of where we need to go in terms of how pedagogy will affect, I guess, and have impact on the learning to gear students for the future, and then bringing that together with well-being, and well-being for learning, well-being to drive the learning. That's what we're focused on. So bringing these together and actually creating the structure around that. The other thing I would say, it's an important point, you can't necessarily deliver on your strategy if you haven't got an organisational structure that's geared for that. You might need to change a few things to deliver your strategy. Again, very hard work, and that can mean staffing change and all sorts of things, but I think it's naive to think you can deliver on a strategy without changing your structure in some way. So all of those things we're bringing together at Concordia. It's hard work, but I'm really excited about the future.
I'm excited about the future for Concordia too. It's really inspiring to hear that well-being is a focus alongside learning.
Absolutely.
Paul, it's been a privilege to hear from you today. Your astute and thoughtful leadership is an asset to the Lutheran education sector, and I've enjoyed the opportunity to learn from you through this podcast episode today. I love hearing that strategy is about realising a vision and taking a school to a different space, you know, shifting it from A to B, and that strategy is about working on a macro level. One of the key takeaways for me is the importance of keeping it succinct, and that a strategy should fit on one page, that whole placemat concept. Paul, on behalf of everyone listening, thank you for your time today.
Thanks, Jane. It's been a pleasure. It's great to reflect on this as well. I found this a really reflectful exercise, and also commend LEA for reaching out in this way. I think it's great for principals to engage in this type of professional resource. So thank you. Thanks for the opportunity.
If you enjoyed this podcast, check out the LEA website, where you'll find more podcasts on a range of topics for anyone interested in leading in Lutheran education.